I'm calling this meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission on this 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Happy Earth Day, everyone, to order. We'll begin our meeting first by acknowledging that we're on the homelands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. I assume everyone is on those homelands right now, even though they're virtually joining the meeting here as commissioners. And before we go into our roll call, I just wanted to kind of discuss briefly about how we're going to try to make this work most efficiently with all of us on the screen here right now. So as we go through the meeting, I think what we'll try is we can have, I've been told that all the commissioners, you have the ability to mute and unmute yourselves. So if everyone could mute themselves if you're not speaking, just to cut down on any possible background noise. And then what we'll do is, as we go through the meeting, it'll be a little more formal than our, which is kind of funny, a little more formal than our in-person meetings. We'll do the same staff report. We'll open it up for the applicant or the representative. And then when commissioners have questions or comments, what we'll do is the raise hand function on here. And I haven't seen anyone what that looks like with the raised hand. So maybe BT, is that something you could monitor? Oh, I see Lauren. I see. Lauren, were you raising your hand for me?
Yep, doing a test.
Thank you. Okay, perfect. That test worked, so I can see it now. So if you raise your hand, I can see you, it looks like. And then I'll call on you, and you can unmute yourself and go for it. That way, I think it'll help. With keeping us from talking over each other. With that said, I should also note that as per the agenda, we're not taking any comments from anyone other than commissioners or presenters. Oh, Jonathan can't find the raise hand function I see here. Are you on your phone, Jonathan? You can unmute yourself.
No, I'm on my laptop.
You are. Can someone help Jonathan with where the raise hand is on the laptop?
Click at the bottom of the screen. Do you see participants chat and share screen and more?
Yes.
Click on the participants.
Ah.
And it's at the bottom.
Oh, and he just raised his hand. All right. I love it. Love it when a plan comes together. So great. Where everyone else is muted, we did receive quite a number of comments before the meeting. So I think when the agenda went out and made the statement that microphones would be muted and the public comment was being taken by email, and that email has been all the comments that were received prior to 4 p.m. as per the agenda have been sent out to commissioners. So I just wanted to acknowledge that the public comment has been received, and hopefully all commissioners have had the opportunity to review that. And with that said, I think we're going to give this our first virtual shot here and move forward into a roll call. So present, I will try to remember here. We'll run down myself. I'm just going to go from the top to the bottom, which is a little bit unusual. And I have someone walking in the room here. There we go. So making it exciting. That's my son, Benjamin, there. It's the Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. You're officially recorded now. Okay. We have present in the virtual chamber here, Commissioners Bartoy, Johnson, Hart, Hilsendegger, Mortensen, Morgenroth, Schlesser, Sundstrom, Williams, Cade, and Jaggers. And I do not believe we have Commissioner Stewart present yet. Is that correct? Commissioner Stewart, if you're here, you can raise your hand and tell me you are, but I do not see you, so she is not here currently. So I will see if we can move forward with the agenda via unanimous consent. Does anyone have any additions to the agenda? If you do, please raise your hand. Seeing no raised hands, do we have any objections to moving forward the agenda by unanimous consent? Raise your hand if you object. Seeing no raised hands, we have no objections, and the agenda is so moved by unanimous consent. So we'll move into, this is item 3 on our agenda now, findings and recommendations, the amendments to the North Slope Wedge Neighborhood Historic District Guidelines. And do we have a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Ruben McKnight. I do have a staff report. I'll go through it. I'll try to be brief, as brief as I can. So this was an item that has been held over for a while because of the delay in our meetings and some other factors. But this is recommendations for the North Slope and Wedge Design Guidelines. The Municipal Code requires the Landmarks Commission to adopt and maintain guidelines for the historic districts, and they can be amended annually. On January 22nd of this year, the Commission finalized a draft recommendation and released it for public review, and then had a public hearing on February 22nd, or 26th, excuse me. So the three areas that the Commission reviews, Commission bylaws are on a proposed change, building inventories on a proposed change, the guidelines are the only thing this year that was proposed for any amendments. And the three areas were the guidance for installation of solar equipment on historic buildings, guidance for accessory structures, including garages and detached accessory dwelling units, and additional clarification for window details for new construction. I'm going to just really briefly go over, you've seen the staff report, you all have it, I think, and it's been posted online. There were three comments generally that were brought forth at the hearing or written, and those recorded in the staff report. And really the primary response we got was concern with how the solar panel language was written. And so I'm just gonna briefly go over the new language for solar panels is under the roofs and roof shapes a portion of the guidelines. And the recommended language was that roof mounted solar equipment should be located in a manner that reduces its visual impact to the extent practicable. Solar installations should not obscure character defining architectural features, and installations on the primary facade are discouraged. To be appropriate for the historic district, solar installations should balance performance with architectural compatibility. And that's where the commission landed on that prior to the hearing. The staff's recommendation is to approve that language following the hearing, but also, and this is included in the staff report, in acknowledgement of the comment that was received in that fourth column where you'll see it says potential language, solar installations on homes with the primary facade facing south, southeast, or southwest may require installation on a visible facade to be effective. Such installation should be located in a manner that does not exceed the ridge height, and conduits and installation hardware should be designed to blend in with the existing colors of the roofs and walls of the home, or the roof and walls of the home. That's the first area. The second section, you'll see this is generally speaking exactly what the commission recommended back in January. There was some clarification, like text referring to accessory structures in the sentence, garages and accessory structures should orient vehicle doors to the alley when possible and maintain a simple roof plan. So that's the change that is was recommended by the commission. And then there were no additional changes to the window materials configuration. And so with that, that concludes my staff report. I guess I'll just finish with one thing on that, and that is that the solar panels seem to be, there wasn't really a clear total consensus on that language. And so we made an attempt to provide additional guidance based on the feedback that was received. But I would suggest, just given that the context we're in right now with these virtual meetings, that if there are some, strong concerns with that language, that the commission consider moving ahead with the rest of the amendments, and we can revisit the solar panels on another day.
Thank you. Yep. Mr. McKnight. And then just to clarify for the commission, the potential language that's in the staff recommendation is the recommendation by the staff that potential language is to follow the proposed language changes. So it's essentially in addition to the proposed language rather than replacing the proposed language.
And Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, thank you for your report. And I'll ask, do any commissioners have any comments or questions? Just raise your hand if you do. Not seeing any raised hands. So if we don't have any raised hands, I think just, and everyone understands that potential language would just be added on to the language that's there, it sounds like. Do we have a motion that might be before us? We have Commissioner Williams raising his hand. Yes, Commissioner Williams. You have to unmute.
I move to approve the revisions in language regarding solar panels for the historic district.
Excellent. Do we have a larger motion as well on the entire package? Oh, and we have Commissioner Slessor.
I don't think I have the greater language. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking it's really, we could do it all together rather than take the solar panels specifically out there. We could just have one single motion that would accept everything, including the changes to the solar panels. Maybe Commissioner Williams, if that's a friendly amendment that I can add as chair.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, great. So that's the motion by Commissioner Williams as amended to accept all of the proposed language changes, including the staff recommendation in addition to the solar panel language. And I believe Commissioner Slessor wants to jump in now.
Second.
We have a second. Great. We have a motion before the commission. Are there any comments or questions on that motion? Just raise your hand. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to a, this will be interesting. We will move to a vote, and maybe what we will do is, let's see. It's interesting. How do we vote then? I guess we could do that. Can we can everyone raise their hands then? So all, I don't know how to raise my hand, frankly, but let's see. You said go to participants. Yeah. Can I raise my hand on here? It doesn't give me the choice to raise
Look
my hand.
Look at the bottom right. There's a button.
Bottom right. Huh. I don't have that option. That's weird. Okay, maybe I'll go ahead and do mine by voice, but all those in favor of the motion in front of the commission, please raise your hand. I see 9 up and I am voting yes, so I will really raise my hand physically to the screen. So I believe that motion has passed unanimously if I had my number count correct. So there is no nays and no abstentions to that vote. Thank you all very much. Our first virtual vote, yay. All right. Moving on to our next order of business, we have a demolition review for 201-5 North Yakima Street. And do we have a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You do. And this is one I trust that everybody got the comments on this. I think we had probably over 20 comments on this particular agenda item. And we will have a presentation afterwards. With I think Ellen Miro with the Johnson Partnership as well, who's also waiting. So as soon as I conclude my staff report, the commission can see that presentation. So I'm just gonna go ahead and jump in. This is agenda item 4A, 201 and 205 North Yakima, which is State and Seminary National Register Historic District. So the background, and I'm gonna read this for the record. In October 2019, Tacoma City Council adopted a revised set of cultural resources regulations that were recommended by this commission and the Planning Commission. And among those recommendations was the establishment of a process for the review of demolition of certain structures. And so the Municipal Code 1312.570 requires that demolition which affects properties that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places, either individually or as contributing structures within historic districts, are reviewed by the Landmarks Preservation Commission. And the code reads, demolition affecting properties that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places, either individually or as a contributing structure within a historic district, shall be referred to the Landmarks Commission for consideration of designation to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, unless it is determined by the Historic Preservation Officer, which is me, that such properties lack historic integrity of location, place, setting, materials, and association or feeling to the extent that such properties would be unlikely to be eligible for designation to the Historic Register. If the Historic Preservation Officer determines that the affected structures possess the integrity, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, and are likely eligible for the listing on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, or if they are already listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The applicant is directed to prepare a historic property assessment report, which is prepared at the expense of the applicant by a qualified historic preservation consultant, and which addresses a narrative statement which assesses the historic and cultural significance of the property in terms of the designation criteria in the Tacoma Municipal Code, a narrative which addresses the physical condition of the property and includes an architectural description, specific language indicating which improvements on the site are eligible for historic designation according to the criteria, including any significant interior features within publicly owned buildings, and a complete legal description. And finally, a description of the character-defining features and architectural elements that contribute to the historic character of the property. Once that report is received, the commission is the report's forwarded to the commission for its review. And if the commission finds that the affected property should be included in the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, it shall transmit such recommendation to the appropriate City Council Committee for concurrence, and that is the Infrastructure and Planning and Sustainability Committee. So this proposal is, we've received a historic property assessment report for the buildings, like I mentioned, at 201 and 205 North Yakima, both of which are in the Stadium San Bernardino National Register District. And both properties are proposed to be removed in order to facilitate a future development. And this portion of the Stadium San Bernardino National Register Historic District is zoned neighborhood commercial mixed use. The action requested, the commission is requested to determine whether one or both of the subject properties should be formally considered for designation to Tacoma Register of Historic Places and to make a recommendation to the IPS committee if so. The recommendation, if the commission makes it, that further consideration of the historic or the subject properties will be require concurrence from the IPS committee, which has up to 60 days to consider this recommendation. And if the IPS committee supports it, then the next step would be for the Landmarks Commission to enter a full public hearing. So the demolition review regulations direct the applicant to address eligibility using criteria in for the Tacoma Register of Historic Places for individual landmarks. And so the commission's analysis should be based upon the merits of the existing structure and not on future proposals for the property. The criteria are twofold. The threshold criteria for Tacoma Register listing are in the code. The first one is that the property is at least 50 years old at the time of nomination, and that the property retains integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association such that it is able to convey its historic, cultural, or architectural significance. And if these threshold criteria are met, then the designation criteria are: criterion A is associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history, or B, associated with the lives of persons significant in our past; C, embodies the distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction, or represents the work of a master, or possesses high artistic values, or represents a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction, or has yielded or may be likely to yield important information in prehistory or history; or E, abuts a property that is already listed on the Tacoma Register of Historic Places and was constructed within the same period of significance; F, is individually listed on the National Register of Historic Places; or lastly, G, owing to its unique location or singular physical characteristics, represents an established and familiar visual feature of the neighborhood or city. So staff's analysis, the building at 201 North Yakima was constructed in 1949 as a flower shop. And it's a relatively modest building in apparently good condition, whose general form is intact. The building originally possessed little ornamentation aside from vitrolite glass, which is a primary character-defining feature of the building and very typical of this era. And as a mid-century structure, it is not within the National Register District's period of significance. The detached dwelling at 205 North Yakima was constructed prior to 1902. It is mostly obscured from Yakima Avenue by vegetation. Alterations to this structure include the removal of the front porch, changes to cladding and trim, and additions. The building is not mentioned within the Stadium San Bernardino National Register Historic District nomination form. However, as a background structure to the district, it likely would be considered historic and contributing. And I'd also note that the Stadium Seminary National Register District nomination is quite old, and so buildings are not inventoried in the same way that they are nowadays in that nomination. The general analysis from staff, first, that both properties clearly meet the age criterion of 50 years. So built in 1949, 201 Yakima is 71 years old, and 205 is over 118 years old. The condition and integrity assessment, the building at 201 North Yakima is on fair condition. And this is a language problem in the staff report, if you read it. The staff report says the removal of the parapet affects the ability of the building to convey its architectural significance. And really that was referring to vitrolite glass, which in fact may be obscured by a sheet metal cover that's on the building, but the parapet is intact on the building. So if anybody read that staff report and saw the removal of the parapet in there, that was incorrect or at least imprecise. And so I apologize for that. Because the building originally exhibited few character-defining features, the removal of unique or distinctive features affects the architectural integrity of the building. The building's condition is fair, but condition is not the same thing as integrity. Three, the building at 205 North Yakima has been significantly altered and is missing character-defining architectural features such as the original porch, exterior trim, and ornamentation. While the building would be included as a contributing building within the district, the number of alterations negatively affects its historic integrity as a potential individual landmark. Getting to the designation criteria A, according to the historic property assessment report, neither building is associated with any significant events. Criterion B, not associated with any significant persons. C, while both buildings can be dated approximately by their architectural form and style, the alterations of character-defining features negatively affects their abilities to be examples of distinctive types, periods, or methods of construction, and neither represent high artistic value, as neither was designed by an architect or master craftsman. Criterion D, subject buildings are not known to have yielded and probably would not yield information important to history or prehistory. And the buildings do not abut a property that is already listed on the historic place, register of historic places. Lastly, criterion F, 201 North Yakima is prominently located at the corner of Yakima and 2nd Street. The fact that the building stands on a corner is probably not enough in staff's opinion to qualify it under this criterion. The residential structure 205 North Yakima screened by vegetation does not represent a established or familiar feature for the neighborhood. And so staff's conclusion, our assessment of this is that the properties meet the threshold criteria for age and they are within the National Register of Historic District. Staff concurs with the historic property assessment report and would not recommend them for individual designation to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places. And that concludes my staff report.
Great, thank you. And you said it was Ellen Miro who is here representing the applicants, if I have that correct. Can we turn over presenting to her for a presentation?
Hi.
Oh, I guess right before I do that, I'd forgotten because it's been a while since we've been having meetings. We do have a moment now where we take a pause and we ask the commission if they do have any questions from the staff report. I apologize. Please raise your hand. Oh, or go ahead. Commissioner Slessor.
For me, the very last sort of three or four, maybe the last paragraph of Ruben's presentation was, I couldn't hear it, it was breaking up. Would you mind repeating it? About recommendations, I think it was.
Sure, Commissioner Slessor, let's see here. What's the last thing you heard me say? I was going through the landmarks criteria.
I think it was after that, Ruben. Thank you.
Okay. I can start with the finish with the conclusion and recommendation then. Is the staff's conclusion and recommendation are that the properties are over 50 years of age and are within the National Register of Historic District. The staff concurs with the historic property assessment report that was submitted to the city. And does not recommend the properties for individual listing to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other commissioners? Could raise your hand. Seeing none, let's BT if we can go ahead and have Ellen Miro, if that's correct, provide us with a presentation.
Hi, I'm Ellen Miro with Studio TJP. I'm going to share my screen. And can you all see the...
I can see it. Okay. If any commissioners cannot see the screen, please raise your hands. I think we're good.
Okay. And our firm prepared the historic property assessment report. We're going to give a brief summary of this report, and there's more information on the buildings and their history in this report. Harry Nash was the first owner and tenant of the residence at 205 North Yakima. He commissioned the house to be built by J.E. Darling in 1902. The Waldron family was the longest-term owner and tenant of the property. Fred P. and Doris E. Waldron began their residency in the home starting in 1928.
One second. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I see Commissioner Mortensen has raised her hand. I'm just worried about connectivity issues here. So, Commissioner Mortensen?
Ellen, your audio is breaking up a little bit, and this is a problem I had in a presentation that I gave on Zoom, so I would recommend stopping your video, and because if you do video, voice, and presentation, I think it kind of overloads the system.
Video?
So in the bottom left, you've got the mute option and the stop video option.
Oh, yes.
If you do stop video, it'll still show your presentation, but it won't be also streaming your face.
I understand. Thank you.
It looks like that worked. Thank you, Commissioner Mortensen.
Okay, the floral shop building at 201 North Yakima was constructed in 1949, and Fred P. Waldron died in 1950. Dora and her two children, Fred and Lillian, continued to run the floral shop. Oops. These are more images of the floral shop taken around the time it was built. These are the images we could find of Fred and Lillian. Although Fred moved to Cushman Avenue after he was married in 1938, Lillian and her mother continued to reside in 205 North Yakima. After Dora died in 1988, Fred and Lillian ran the shop until around 1995. Fred died in 2007 and Lillian died in 2009. As you know, the property is within the boundaries of the Stadium Seminary National Historic District. This aerial view gives you an understanding of the proximity of the buildings to each other. These are some views of the neighborhood. This red arrow shows where the property is viewing east on North Yakima. And then this is the property in other views of the neighborhood. This is 201 North Yakima today, viewing from the corner of 2nd and North Yakima. Built in the commercial modernist style, the building is mostly intact. The massing and the window wall are remaining character-defining features. A major character-defining feature, the vitriolite parapet, has either been removed or altered, and the neon signage has definitely been removed. The marquee has new cladding materials. The brick planters are intact, although the Roman bricks have been painted. When dealing with minimal buildings, the removal of one character-defining feature can have a significant impact. One could argue that the vitriolite and neon signage was a major character-defining feature of the building. This is 205 North Yakima. It's difficult to get a good view from North Yakima due to the vegetation, so we also included the rear view. The house was built in 1902. It was made into a duplex around 1928. And the porch was removed at that time. The creation of the duplex altered the plan. In the 1970s, new siding was installed. And we think this was done at the same time a re-roofing permit was issued. The window trim was removed when the siding was replaced. It is not known when the gable end decoration was removed from the structure. But all of the alterations in aggregate have degraded the original character and style of the building, so that it's difficult for it to convey its original style and period. So our report also addresses the ability of the buildings to meet the designation criteria. And Mr. McKnight went through many of these, but we don't know of a significant event. The buildings are associated with the Waldron family and the Waldron's floral business. The significance of the family stems from their 62-year proprietorship of the business and their reputation as kind, fair landlords. As we understand it, longevity itself does not confer significance, And there is more required under this criterion to be eligible for designation. And then, as Mr. McKnight said, because both buildings have been altered, it's difficult for them to convey their original designs, and neither of them were designed by Masters. They are not qualifying under D either, or E. Under F, the corner location is not enough to qualify under this criterion, and 205 North Yakima is screened by vegetation. The one piece of evidence we found in our report that suggested the building may rise to the level of the criteria is the mural located in the rear yard of the business located at 124 North Tacoma Avenue. And this mural may indicate the subject building represents an established and familiar visual feature of the neighborhood. We wanted to point out, however, the mural depicts the building before it was altered. It includes the vitrolite parapet and neon signage. And it should also be considered that the construction date of the building falls outside the period of significance of the historic district, which is 1888 to 1930. So we thank you for your consideration and welcome your questions and comments.
Great. Thank you so much. And I want to comment that Commissioner Stewart has joined us now as well. So we have all the commissioners represented. So I will ask now if any commissioner has comments or questions, please raise your hand. Oh, I see two. I saw Commissioner Mortensen popped up.
Thank you for your presentation, Ellen. This is just a general comment about the building 201 on the corner. I disagree with the staff finding and the finding in the report that it's not eligible as an individual landmark, particularly because a lot of the features and definitely the massing I think are intact. And so I would not support a demolition request for that building in particular. The house seems pretty significantly altered, and I would not support that as an individual landmark, but I would support the 201.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Mortensen. Commissioner Johnson.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with Jennifer. It's associated with a person of significance because they were a major feature of the stadium historic district for 70 years. That to me is a significant period. And they have contributed to the history of the neighborhood for a long time. And the construction is unique for this area, and especially the really large roof with the can lights and the big glass panels. I mean, that's very unusual for that time. It's a singular physical characteristic that makes it special. And if it's gone, then the warmth and tradition that this family brought to that area will be totally forgotten. So this is a good reminder. That's all.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Do any other commissioners have comment? And I'm seeing no further raised hands. I was going to go ahead, and I have comments that are reflective of Commissioners Mortensen and Johnson as well. Knowing particularly in regards to the parapet on the 201 building, I mean, it's really kind of unknown at this time if it's covered or there or not. So making a decision about its integrity based on no data is troubling to me. I do think that it still retains its characteristics, though, in its current form. I also think that it's not just the fact that it is on that street corner, but I think is illustrated in the shake, shake, shake mural, that you can see that it is a a prominent, established, familiar visual feature of the neighborhood. I myself remember this from my childhood, going by this and remember when, remember it being that kind of landmark there, of the neighborhood, particularly as Commissioner Johnson said that it's so unusual for the neighborhood. So it does stand out that way. I also think that its association with the Walgren family is very, important. I think that, for a lot of Tacomans, knowing that as the florist business, that was there, is definitely significant. I might differ a little bit on the commissioners, in terms of the, 205 structure, just, given that the, porch modifications, the kind of filling in of that porch area seemed to be done in the historic period, and making it into a duplex actually had a lot to do with the history of the building, especially in reading the history that was presented. Of the family taking in lodgers, obviously another way to either pay for their means to live there, or for companionship, for whatever other reason that might be. I think that the fact that it was a historic modification it needs to be taken into account. Some of the other modifications that were mentioned, like the gable end decorative element, I think is relatively minor, and I'm not so convinced that there's a lot of data regarding the siting saying that was removed. I just don't see a lot of hard data regarding that being changed. So I may differ in my opinion than the other two commissioners that have spoken thus far on that building, and thinking that given its significance with the relationship with the family and the business in this particular location, that it does meet a criteria, have integrity and meet criteria of significance for the association with the Walgren family. With that, I saw that Commissioner, I know two commissioners has raised their hands since I was talking, and I saw Commissioner Williams was the first of those. So I'll pass it over.
I surprisingly agree with the staff's findings and recommendations on this. While I think it's a great mid-century building, I do think it's not meeting the criteria for nomination as an individual structure, and I don't think the other property does as either. So I tend to agree with staff findings.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Williams. And Commissioner Williams, can you unraise your hand so I can see who else raised their hand? Sorry. Commissioner Hilsendinger.
Yes, I agree with some of the prior comments regarding the parapet. Not knowing if that is intact underneath that covering or not, and having that be one of the items that disregards it as a possible landmark, I wanted to point that out. And then also as a side note, about 10 years ago or so, I happened to attend an event at the home at 205. And at that time, there were quite a few people that attended that had quite fond memories of the Walgren family and how the floral shop played a part in the history of that neighborhood. And it was really heartwarming to hear the part that it played in that neighborhood. So I wanted to mention that I do believe that that business played a part, and that family played a part in the history of that area.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other commissioners who would like to speak? I don't see any hands raised. So and Mr. Knight can correct me if I'm wrong. The question that is before the commission with this application right now is whether or not one or both or neither of these structures should be put forward for consideration for listing on the Tacoma Register. That's correct, Mr. McKnight?
That's the action. Yes.
That is the action requested. So is there a motion by the commission? Oh, whoever raised their hand raised it at the same time. I don't know who raised it first. Oh.
Jennifer got it.
No, but your name is up there, Commissioner Johnson. That's the one that shows on my screen.
All right, I move that the Landmarks Commission forward to the City Council Commission, or what's it called?
The IPS Committee.
The IPS Committee, the recommendation that the 401 building be listed on the historic register, where the 405 is not eligible.
Okay. This motion before the commission. Do we have a second? Yes, Commissioner Mortensen.
I'll second with the slight correction. I think it's 201 and 205 as the address.
That is friendly, Commissioner Johnson.
Very friendly.
Okay. Let's go ahead and see if there's any discussion about the motion before the commission. Any hands raised? No, not seeing any hand raised. Is that Commissioner Stewart? I saw you pop up. Did you want to say something?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. So the one thing that I might add is just that we may want to, and Mr. McKnight, do we need to be specific of what's moving forward to IPS in terms of the commission, obviously, thinking that there's integrity there, but in terms of the criterion for which it would meet the register?
Mr. Chair, I think that would be helpful. I mean, I have in my notes here first association with the Walgren family that they were significant to the neighborhood, that the flower shop building is significant for its architecture, and that it's a singular physical presence that is very prominent visually to the neighborhood. And so that would be the last criterion F, according to my notes.
Is that reflective, Commissioner Johnston, of your initial motion?
I don't know why I didn't say that. Designation criteria B, C, and G are the ones that I was referencing, and it's what Rubens mentioned.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And I see two commissioners raise their hands there, so I'm not sure who's Commissioner Hart, I see.
Yeah, I'm just a little unclear. So are we looking at passing a motion to get these in front of the other committee to make them landmarks, or are we looking at approving a demo of either or both?
As part of the process, the new process that was put in place on demolition review, what we are doing as a commission right now is assessing whether or not we believe that one or either, right now the motion is one of these structures should be considered for listing on the Tacoma Register, and then forwarding that recommendation to the council's IPS committee for review and consideration. Is that correct, Mr. McKnight?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, and it's a little bit of a it's a new process for this commission. But what happens is, if this commission chooses to basically, what you're recommending is further consideration, if that makes any sense. And so it goes to the IPS committee, the seeking concurrence, and if the committee concurs and we present this to the IPS committee, then this commission would schedule a public hearing and actually enter the formal consideration, take comments from the public, and then from that point there would be a resolution that would then go forward to the city council.
I think you just turn it off. So
no, we have someone is not muted there. Was that clear, Commissioner Hart? Would you want Mr. McKnight to repeat that end there?
No, I think that makes sense. So if we propose the one gets listed and the other one doesn't, does the other one still qualify for demo?
That's correct. All this is it's when a proposal comes forward to remove buildings that are located within the National Register Historic District, the commission has the chance to recommend to City Council that they actually be formally considered for protection. And then if that goes forward, then those buildings may end up on the Tacoma Register. For buildings that are not, that don't make that recommendation, then they can proceed as the normal permit path would allow.
Understood. Great. Thank you.
And Commissioner Morgenroth, you raised your hand.
Yeah, thank you. Just wondered quick, Ruben, if we
move this forward as like a package, would the IPS committee, would they be able to break it up essentially and designate one? I'm assuming they would designate one, not the other, or are they more likely just to consider it as a whole?
Thank you, Commissioner Morgenroth. What I would expect from the council committee is to evaluate the merits of the recommendation that the commission has sent forward, and then they may return with if both were recommended to the committee, they may return to the commission with both or one or the other or neither. And then from that point, the commission would take that and whichever one is under consideration, if it's both of them or if it's one of them, schedule a public hearing to take testimony on it and then make a final recommendation to city council. So I think the council committee could do what it wants in terms of evaluating the recommendation and whether or not they concur with all of her part of it. It's just basically this commission is making a recommendation to the council committee that these should be formally reviewed as landmarks, and then the council committee can concur or not concur with that. If they don't concur, then that process ends, and if they do, then the commission continues on with its consideration. So this is like a threshold or a first step at it. Does that make sense?
Commissioner Morgenroth?
Sorry, yes, that does make sense. I guess this is maybe more for the commission. I only ask, if we wanted to, and I kind of happen to agree with Commissioner Mortensen, I'm focusing more on the commercial building there. I think that certainly is the more, arguably more important one. Is there any benefit to or advantage to only moving forward that one as opposed to both, just from more of a strategy perspective? But I don't know. How that works, how the IPS committee might consider that. So that was kind of where my question was leading, I guess.
Mr. Chair, I just add for the commission, I think what I would say is that the commission should take action based on the criteria that they think buildings meet. So if the commission feels that both of them rise to that individual landmark designation criteria, then they should recommend both of them. If one of them doesn't, then I would probably not make that recommendation if I were the commission. But I would keep it tied to the criteria for each one. So each building on its own merits, basically.
And I think that's a good clarification, Mr. McKnight, is that this is new, a new process before the commission, and we need to keep focused on the fact that we are evaluating these buildings for their eligibility to the Tacoma Register, really individually, and really not thinking ahead of, what would come forward as well after, say, a demolition or whatnot. It's really trying to evaluate these structures and see if they are something that needs that rises to that level that needs further consideration. So I see Commissioner Sundstrom has been very patient, raising her hand here.
So I agree. If we look at them individually, one certainly seems to weigh heavier on architectural significance. But because the two have a historical relationship to each other, I feel it's probably more prudent, especially given the amount of public feedback we got on the both of them collectively, to send them forth for additional consideration as a pair, so that that association is not taken lightly in the process.
Okay. The motion that's before the commission currently is for the structure at 201, the florist shop. I guess, is there another motion or before here? Oh, Commissioner Mortensen?
I'm not sure if we... I made my comments primarily on the architectural merit of the flower shop, because that was the piece that stood out to me. And I'm not as familiar with the story of the family and their significance in the neighborhood outside of what was provided. And I really appreciate Commissioner Johnson and Commissioner Hilsendigger's comments on that, because I didn't know that. And so I certainly would be agreeable to including the house in the recommendation. I guess I would be curious where the other commissioners are, if they support one or both or neither. I think we've heard from kind of about half the commissioners.
Okay. Are there commissioners who want to comment on what Commissioner Mortensen just provided? And Commissioner Sundstrom? Nope. Commissioner Helsendinger? You may be on mute.
Yes. I wanted to agree with Commissioner Sundstrom and Mortensen that I do agree that they tell the story together, and I would support moving both forward together.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Oh, I see someone. Commissioner Helsendinger, could you put your hand down, please? Oh, there you go. Commissioner Johnson. Thank you.
Well, after listening to everyone talk about the connection between the two houses, I would certainly be agreeable to changing the motion to include both structures. The fact that in the report they keep talking about you can't see the house because of the brush, well, that's not a big deal. The house is still what it is, and the bushes don't really detract from it. So I would be willing to change the motion to include 205 along with 201 to be taken to the IPS committee as recommending that we put it on the Historic Register of Tacoma.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. And to clarify, would that be from the conversations I'm hearing from the other commissioners, that the 205 would be considered eligible under criterion B with its association with the Walgren family? Is that correct?
That'd be correct.
That is, okay. Great, so now we have an amended motion before the commission. Do we have a second on that amended motion? I see Commissioner, is that Commissioner Hart?
Yep. I will second the motion.
A second by Commissioner Hart. Is there any further discussion on this amended motion? And just to clarify, so the motion is that the commission would be recommending for consideration on the Tacoma Register both properties, the one at 201 North Yakima, the one at 205 North Yakima. The property at 201 North Yakima would be considered under criterion B, C, and F. I believe that's correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. McKnight.
Yeah, that matches my notes.
Great. And then the property at 205 North Yakima would be considered under criterion B for its association with the Walgren family. I think the comments that the commission made regarding integrity during the course of the conversation are probably noted, Mr. McKnight. Yes, I see you nodding.
Yes, so yes. Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Johnson raised his hand.
Yeah. Actually, 201, I would take the criteria G, unique singular physical characteristic, familiar feature of a neighborhood, makes it qualify also.
That was the one I was looking for. Did I say the incorrect letter?
I think, sorry, I didn't mean to jump in, but I think the confusion probably is to one earlier version of the code. The criteria is basically the same, but they may have been renumbered.
Oh.
And so it's the established and familiar visual feature, I think, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's
criterion F.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yeah, we do have a little bit of a disjunct in there. See, we have up to G in the criteria. Okay, but we are clear on which criteria those are. So it's B, the association with the lives of the Walgren family, and then the architectural style for 201 for C, and then you said that was F, the one that is for the singular, an established and familiar visual feature of the neighborhood. Is that correct, Mr. McKnight?
I needed to auto unmute, but then that wouldn't do serve the purpose. Yes. Yes. I
okay.
So.
Fantastic. So we have a amended motion seconded before the commission now, and hearing none, no further comments on that. I'm not seeing any raised hands. What we're going to do is BT has offered to unmute the commissioners for the voice vote. So we'll have a voice vote and give her a chance to unmute the commissioners. We'll have all those in favor of the motion before the commission say aye.
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 Okay. Is that all the ayes? And then all those opposed say nay.
Nay.
That's all the nays. And any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes. Great, thank you. Robust discussion. Very appreciated. Do you have everything you need from us on that matter, Mr. McKnight?
Yes, so I will work with the council committee staff to schedule this going forward, and I'll be back in touch with the chair about bringing this forward.
Great, thank you so much. We'll move on to our design review and item 5A on our agenda, which is the design review of 506 North L Street in the North Slope Historic District. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Built in 1900, this is a contributing property in the North Slope Historic District that is highly deteriorated. The Landmarks Preservation Commission conducted a site visit on July 24, 2019. During the exploratory demolition, four stone pillars on the front porch fell down due to structural inadequacies. Most other architectural details have been removed. The owner received a notice of violation from the city on September 23, 2019 for extensive remodeling without a permit. On November 13, 2019, the owner briefed the commission. The commission expressed concern about the amount of material that had been removed without prior approval and requested that the applicant return with detailed elevation drawings, a proposed materials list, and an inventory of what was removed, including photos of the existing condition and detailed drawings of the proposal in a close resemblance to the historic house as possible. The owner has since hired Tonkin Architecture to lead the project and provide the requested materials, and they have a presentation after the staff report. The applicant is now seeking approval for the rehab of the structure. The proposal includes the salvage and in-kind replacement of the existing porch columns. The porch and the porch roof will also be rebuilt to match the historic design. Original siding on the front pediment will be retained, while the rest of the home will be resided with fiber cement lap siding and shingles. All windows will be replaced with Milgard Ultra Series fiberglass windows. Also included in the plans is the rehabilitation of the existing garage with matching materials. Action requested is approval of the above scope work. Standards are the North Slope Historic District Design Guidelines for windows, siding, doors, porches, and garages. Analysis is of this property in the North Slope Historic District and as such is subject to review by this commission. Two, the house was highly deteriorated and the original windows were removed prior to the current owner's purchase. Three, the proposed replacement windows have been previously approved in this district. Four, original siding on the front pediment is being retained. There was not enough original siding left to salvage. The proposed replacement siding is consistent with the district design guidelines. The proposed changes to the garage and doors are consistent with the design guidelines. The porch columns are either being repaired or replaced in kind. The porch and porch roof are being rebuilt to match the existing design. Staff recommends approval of the application. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. And let me see. Do we have Pam Derry with us?
Yeah. I'm here.
Great. Great, Pam. I'm going. Wait 1 second, please. I need to open it up for any commissioners who may have questions on the staff report. Go ahead and raise your hand for me now. Seeing no raised hands, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you, Pam, for your presentation.
Pam, you can go ahead and share a screen if you'd like, if you're able.
I'm trying.
Okay. There we go. There.
You see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. That's funny because I don't see it next to you, but that's okay. Yeah, so I'm going to go fairly quickly because I have quite a few slides and limited time. But just really quickly, it's as Lauren said, it was built in 1900 and it's a contributing building. The rear portion appears to be a later addition. Historically, it appears to have been an 8-bedroom boarding house. There have been numerous additions to it over the years. And I would have to say many of them appear to have been unpermitted and not something would have been permitted. For instance, there was occupation of the attic with low ceiling area. And the previous building owner, Paul Post, was given notice the building would be demolished unless he made improvements. And then, but instead of that happening, he sold it. So it has been an extreme, was an extremely poor condition when my client purchased it in 2019. And we've discussed it with the land use staff, and they've determined that it is grandfathered for 4 units rather than 8, because it wasn't occupied with 8 at the time, because it's been empty for a while. So we are working on a design for 4 dwelling units within the structure rather than 8 boarding rooms. And it is in the historic district there, and on L Street near 5th Street. And I'm trying to, there we go. Here's the location here. And from now on, I'm going to be flipped in orientation. So in this view, north is up, but for now on, north is going to be down to the right to show this building in orientation to the street. This is a survey of the existing structure and site with the building and the garage by the alley. And you'll note that the building is very close to the property line on one side here, less than 5 feet, not non-conforming for building code. The oldest photographs of this property are from 1977. Here I'm showing both the subject property 506 and the neighboring properties. It's very similar, or was very similar, to its neighbors. It had already been modified some in 1977. You can see that the original siding has already been covered up at that point, and the little deck over the porch was all, the railing on that had already been changed in 1977. And you can see a little bit of the side of the building here in the picture of 512. You can also see a retaining wall had been added on 512. And I point that out because that retaining wall extended in front of the subject property in this picture in 1996. You can see it. And this is a wall that actually goes over the property line. So the city staff has informed us that it needs to be removed and the slope restored to more what would have been before that was added. So in this 1996 photo, you can see that further modifications of the building had been made, that the door and the original window are gone, and the railing is gone, and it's unlikely that these porch railings are original either. So there's a continuing deterioration there. These photos from 1977 are the best historic record of the building, though they do not represent the state that it was in when my client purchased it by any means. It was a much worse condition by then. And so there's a few photos from a video he took right after he purchased it. You can see it's basically been condemned. Nobody can enter it. Many of the windows have been replaced very strangely. Really was unoccupiable, broken windows. And now, as you heard in the staff report, he had a permit for a selective interior demolition, but proceeded to do much more than that. So we took off that siding that had been added and exposed the old siding, but unfortunately that much of that was in very poor condition. You can see some of these odd windows again. And he proceeded to rebuild the roof to protect the building. But the porch was in very poor condition here. You can see some of that rot. And there's more rot underneath the building. So when my firm was retained, this was the state of the building with the siding removed, the roofs rebuilt, but with inappropriate trim. So we, not having had the opportunity to make measurements before that work occurred, we used both the openings that we can measure now, plus the photos from 1977 to reconstruct what would have been there. And here's some more photos of what it's like in the current time. and this garage, which has some non-code compliant steps down, very awkward steps out of the back of the garage. So this is our drawing showing what we think the building would have been like originally, to the point that we can know where there's no photos, existing photos of the rear of the building, but we have the sides and the front, and what we are proposing. We're proposing appropriate trim. We are not proposing restoring this deck, as you wouldn't be able to make it quite like it was, as you would have to have a higher railing for safety. So we're proposing a window such as would have been there, and a window with the symmetry of where the door would have been there, and the rest of the front very, very much like it would have been. And some of these columns we're able to, the existing columns still exist, where some of them would have to be replicas. So that's the front of the building. And then the rear has had evidence of a number of changes over the years. Like there was evidence that there had been a window, but then there'd also been stairs up to a door above. We're proposing to restore the window rather than the stairs, and to have a window where that upper door was in order to have a bathroom upstairs. And we're also proposing to have a bulkhead entrance to the basement rather than having stairs to the, it's an unfinished, very rough basement, rather than having stairs in the middle of the interior of the building, which that allows more usable space. And there are a few windows that we're proposing to make slightly larger than we think they originally were, and that is in order to meet building code egress requirements. So there are small differences. Several of these buildings in the back, windows rather in the back in particular. So that's the rear of the building. And then this is the east side of the building where we're proposing to keep it very similar to what it was, except to replace this one rear door with a window. And then again, for egress, to modify this window on the bay in order to have it work for egress, because it was a picture window and it would be necessary to have an egress window on that portion of the building. And then on the west side of the building, that's the side where it's so close to the property line. Building code allows only 15% of that facade to be openings. So, and there's, it's very close to both the fence and plants. So it's not as visible as the east side by far. So we're proposing to not put back a couple of the windows here in order to keep the percentage openings down and in order to be allowed to have vents for laundry. And we're not proposing any windows on the garage, and there are none. There was also, I didn't point this out, there was an odd sort of like closet sticking out even further on that side of the building that has been removed, and we're not proposing to rebuild that, as it would make the building even closer to the property line. And we're also not proposing to bring back these two small windows that are oddly proportioned compared to the rest of the building, and would again make too many windows on this side of the building. And here's the existing site and the site with landscaping here. This is the side where I was just showing you where it's so close to the property line. We're proposing to have these walkways within the site, and there with four units. We're proposing that there would be the two existing spaces in the garage plus two on the site surface spaces, so that each unit could have a parking space and trash collection on the alley. And we would also need to add street trees, as there are none currently. And this is where that retaining wall would be removed per this staff direction. And there's a close up of that, so you can see that a little bit better. And in the way, there's a stair in the front of the building after the porch. So some of the units would be accessed that way, but one would be accessed from the back. So we're proposing walkways connecting the whole thing so people can walk in the front and back And then the garage, where it has those steps that are quite awkward, we're proposing to add a small porch to make it easier to use the garage to get in and out and have an appropriate landing at the doors. And we're proposing a small deck so that there's just one set of steps down and a small cover over it. And this, I know you don't review the interior, but I'm including the plans just in case you have any questions related to changes we made on the, we're proposing on the exterior in order to make changes in the interior. For instance, the area where I, where we remove, where we would like to not replace windows on the west side of the building, where this laundry is, so they don't really work for the plan. And similarly, there's a window we'd like to not replace here on the back where they interfere with a wall, and those two small windows on this side where they would interfere with the kitchen, and that area has rather a low ceiling. And so this is the inventory of the salvage material. That there are two round porch columns and two square porch columns that have been salvaged, that we would be matching the remaining square columns and pilasters, which are similar in shape to the salvage columns. And as just mentioned, the original siding was, there was very little that could be salvaged. What's left is less than an the area of the front. So we are not proposing putting that back because there isn't, it doesn't cover in a sort of sufficient area. And this is a rendering. And when we submitted a month ago, we were saying we would use Milgard fiberglass windows, but we determined that there's a building code requirement for the upstairs windows that they have limiters on them, so a child can't fall out, but they have to be code compliant limiters where they can also be open for egress. And the Milgard ones do not come with appropriate limiters, so we would like to switch to Hella because they do come with that. They're a high quality fiberglass window. If I were with you in person, I would have brought a window to show you, but they're difficult in this situation. And we are proposing fiber cement lap siding. There was a public comment about fiberglass siding. That is not correct. We would not propose such a thing. Fiber cement is a good substitute for wood and durable. And we would have it with a smaller reveal to match what was there. Similarly with the shingles would be fiber cement, and Masonite heritage doors, TimberTech reserve railings, and we would use the smooth trim to not have a false historic look. And currently installed roofing is Certainty Landmark charcoal black. And then on this one pediment, there's the one area of siding that the original siding that remained. And then this trim along here would be replaced in a blue to match the historic rather than what is there now. And that's the end of my presentation.
Great, thank you so much. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments? Commissioner Williams.
Some questions. When we were at the site, original drawing doesn't really reflect some of the things that we saw that were still intact at the time. When you look at the historic photo, there are these pediments on the front. I don't know what you would call it, the bump out that used to be a porch. It's almost like dental molding that was along there. There was also dental molding along all the facade on the side of the house as well to match that. And that wasn't shown on your original drawing. There was no stone supports for the porch, which weren't in your original drawing. And those were there when we did our site visit. And then also there was quite a few wood windows that were removed or have been removed since we were actually there. In fact, all the windows have pretty much been removed from the property. And our direction had been to keep those wood windows in place so they could be matched closely. My concern is I don't feel like fiber glass windows are necessarily, replacing wood windows that were removed without permission. So I feel like there should be wood windows put back in. And I feel like that we need the stone porch supports to be back in, not only the original drawing, but the subsequent proposed drawing. And then I would like that dental, it's not quite dental because it was a little more substantial than just a normal dental molding, but I feel like that should be returned to the facades as well. Those are my comments. I don't think, overall, I just don't feel like the original drawing that we were provided was 100% accurate, given what we saw on our site visit.
Okay, so the drawings that did not get to see what was there before. So I'm recreating from what the information I have, the photos and what's there now. So I'm not, some of your, what you're referring to, I'm not familiar with. There are.
Right. There were stone supports, stone pillars underneath the porch in the front that held the porch up. And we had recommended salvaging that stone and reusing it to recreate those posts, those pediments underneath pillars. We had recommended making sure that the dental molding along the sides and the front facade remain intact. And we had also recommended that the wood windows be saved as well, because some were in good enough shape to save, especially the ones on the bay window, I believe. Some of those were gone, but there were still some wood windows that kind of were original to the site. I'm welcome to corrections if anyone else remembers it differently from our site visit.
Big windows, looking at this, from what I could see, I wouldn't think that the bay windows would have been.
No, those were gone, but you had the openings.
That do look like they may have been original, but probably weren't in very good condition. And I, of course, did not get to see them myself. I do note that when the building was being considered for a demolition, that a city building inspector viewed it, Inspector Swick, who said the windows were missing, damaged, or poorly maintained. So they were not at that time considered to be in good condition. So I don't
know. The windows on the front porch, underneath the front porch were still intact. And there was a few windows on the side. The bay window, obviously the size of those windows were there, but the windows were no longer intact. So on the front and that side facade, and also on, definitely underneath the porch were original windows. So. And like I said, the stone supports, you can even see it in this picture that you've got here on the right on the screen right now. Yeah, you can see those stone supports underneath the porch. And those are not in your original drawing. And then the dental siding that was above on the second story doesn't show up in this picture either from July of 2019.
I'll look and see if I can find it. I have not seen, I can see in 77 this.
Yeah, time. So if you see that detail you're pointing to, that detail was also all along the side of the second story as well. And that was still there when we did our site visit. I think those are my only comments. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner William. Other commissioners? Commissioner Sundstrom.
So I was not at the site walkthrough, but I was at the meeting when the applicant came previously before us. And one of the comments at that meeting that we made as a directive back to him was that the second story balcony was to be restored because it was present at the time of purchase. The railing was missing, but the function of the balcony was in place. So that's one comment. The next comment is that you took inventory of the salvage siding and came up with 233 square feet, and you state that you need 234 square feet. So to me, that lends itself to material to match existing historic, not replacing. That's not, there's a substantial amount used versus what's needed, enough to warrant that you would be able to match. It's wood, after all, wood siding. Rather than, especially on the front facade, rather than replacing that with fiber cement siding. And then my third comment is that the bay window on the main floor that you need to replace for egress requirements could be replaced with a casement window that had the third sash light rather than a 50-50 sash light split in order to meet the egress requirements without changing the original window vocabulary. In other words, a casement to look like an old 1/3, 2/3 single hung window. That's all my comments.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Sundstrom. Any other commissioners? Nope, I see two. Commissioner Sundstrom, can you unraise your hand? Oh, there we go. Commissioner Helsendinger, thank you.
Commissioner Sundstrom covered part of my question. I was curious if there had been directive given before about that second story balcony. And so that's interesting to hear that it was actually suggested prior, but I did want to lend my voice to that about seeing that piece restored.
Okay. Other commissioners? Commissioner Cade.
Thank you. I just had a question about the size and the scale of the windows, and maybe this is clear to other people from the drawings, but I was not at the site visit. A lot of the opening sizes have been changed over the years, either because of previous window replacements or because of the work that the current contractor has done. Are those being restored to the original scale, other than the ones that you've addressed that you need to change slightly for egress?
The only ones we're proposing changes to size would be for egress. And this is, we're doing our best to figure out what was there historically. But our intention is to make them as close as possible. The only ones we're proposing a change to are where we're switching a door, having a window instead of a door, or needing egress.
Thank you.
Any other commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Mortensen.
I was unfortunately unable to attend the site visit as well, but I really appreciate other commissioners' comments to represent that visit, particularly Commissioner Williams. I also agree with Commissioner Williams and Commissioner Sundstrom in that things that were intact at the time of the site visit should be restored in kind. I think this is an issue that we are running into on some other properties, and I would want the commission to be consistent in that. So I would support the restoration of what was in kind at the time of the visit and told to be preserved for this project.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Mortensen. Any other commissioners? Seeing no hands raised, I just want to kind of sum up what's been stated here and what I've heard. And I think Commissioner Mortensen did a nice job there at the end, kind of saying the restored in kind to the site visit time. I really have four elements, and commissioners can correct me on those four elements that have been pointed out. Commissioners, I think it was Williams, Sundstrom, and Helsendinger. I'm hoping I got everyone correct on that with your good comments. The one is the porch feature above the porch, so that balcony, I guess, feature that was present during the initial site visit, the restoration of that. The dental features that I believe are shown prominently there on the front facade of the photograph that's in front of us now. Commissioner Williams pointed out that those had continued around to the side elevations of the building. We'd like those restored. The four stones columns underneath supporting the porch, as well as an issue was raised in regards to windows that were wooden and would have likely been required to maintain as wood windows. And Commissioner Williams, I see your hand raised.
Right. I just wanted to clarify the owner, when we met with him, had already removed and replaced the balcony with the roof over the, so that had already been removed and that was part of the stop work order. So when we were there for our site visit, the balcony was gone. And we had felt like that was something that should not have been removed when we were there at the site visit, and we communicated that. But it was gone. Right. It was gone at the site visit already. He had already roofed over what had been that flat portion of the balcony roof above.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. And Commissioner Mortensen?
Then it sounds like we should probably, I would like to amend my comment to be that the features that were identified, I guess at the time of purchase then, as being significant by the commission, and Commissioner Sundstrom also mentioned the feedback they received at the meeting prior to the site visit as well.
Great, thank you. So noted. And Commissioner Johnson?
Yeah, I was at that site visit, and yes, the balcony had been removed and the flat roof, the sloped roof, had went all the way across. And it definitely altered the original appearance of the structure. And the windows on the front porch were pretty much intact. They were picture windows, which maybe wasn't original, but the glass was there, and so those were there. So during the site visit.
Okay. Great, thank you. So are there any other commissioners who would like to speak? I'm gonna ask Ruben, Mr. McKnight. So seeing that we've, I think, reached, I summarized where I think the commission's comments are in regards to items which I think they would like to see in that design that were, in some cases, recommended directly to the owner in previous discussions, both before the commission and on previous site visit. I kind of see two paths on this one. It's either we seek a motion on what's before us on the design, or perhaps that the comments that have been made by the commission can be taken back by the applicant to the owner to see if there would be revisions to the design. Is that
the owner is here? I think he might want to. Would it be possible for him to say something?
Certainly.
He's unmuted.
Sure. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So I did want to point out the picture in 1996, again, well before the purchase of the home. You'll kind of see that front porch area. Going back to 1996, that door was already closed in with that smaller sliding, kind of side sliding window. And again, our proposal was then to have the two windows up top to kind of match the picture from 1977.
Yes, understood. I think the comment from the commission was that the flat roof feature there, although that there had been alterations, as can be seen in the later photo, that the flat roof that was indicative of that earlier photo in 1977, as well as it's a fenestration and then a door right on the 1977 photo be restored. And from what I heard from the commission comments was that was a comment that was provided.
So Mr. Chair, the list that I have from this discussion, shall I just go through it briefly?
Sure.
So what I have is the, I want to track here first of all, there was a recommendation for the division of the proportion of the light or the windows in the bay, the casement. Could be put into the bay window to accomplish egress and still maintain the historic spatial relationship. That the balcony, which I understand the void or the slot where the balcony was present at the time of purchase, but the railing is long gone, if that's correct. But the idea is that flat roof, that balcony area should be restored. that the dentils or the scroll brackets or the corbels around the front parapet should extend along the eaves on the side of the house where they were historically. That the stone support pillars underneath the porch should be returned or put back. And then we have some original windows that have been removed, but the ones that specifically I have heard about are the ones that may have been in the front of the house and under the porch, if that's correct. So that's my list of five things, I think, that I've taken away from this discussion. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think, and thank you for the correction or the addition that I had neglected on the casement in the bay. But that is my, I see a couple hands raised from commissioners. I didn't see who jumped in first.
I just wanted to say that I am, given the front railing and the balcony that was previously there, there was a door that went out onto that balcony originally, and I'm okay with just having a window there as opposed to a door that would go out. That would allow that balcony to be at a shorter height and more closely replicate what was probably there originally, because I'm guessing that the railing we're seeing in the 1977 photo was not original.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sundstrom?
Just to add to Mr. McKnight's list was also the issue of salvaging and reusing existing wood siding.
Great, thank you. And I think on the, I don't know if it needs clarification, Commissioner Williams, but just for the applicant and the owner, I believe what you're saying was the restoration of the balcony feature with some type of railing, but instead of a door that you, it would actually be as kind of proposed there with the dual windows and thus allowing you to have a railing that can be more in scale with the structure.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess, you know, for at this point, I mean, I would put it on the applicants if these are things that they could take back and incorporate into their design, or if they would want the design as put forward tonight to move forward for a vote from the commission.
I think I need to defer to my client what he would like to do.
From the comments, I guess we will go back and take the comments and kind of look to incorporate them into the design package, and we can take a look at resubmitting a new package.
Okay, that'd be great. And I think that you can work with city staff on that. And it sounded like Mr. McKnight had captured that list and can work through it. Do you have all the information you need from us, Mr. McKnight? Maybe on mute.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't reach my mouse. So the one thing I think that I might need additional clarification on is the salvaging of the existing wood siding. I'm not totally clear on, I guess, to what level. And you know, I know there's some on the house, but there's a lot of just sheathing right now. So I'd like a little more guidance from the commission on the expectations for that.
Commissioner Sundstrom?
Could the applicant go back to the slide that shows the inventory of salvaged materials?
Way at the end, sorry.
Go. So it states here that there was 233 square feet of salvaged siding, and that to re-side the front elevation would require 234 square feet. So my recommendation is that the front elevation be re-sided with the salvage siding and new in kind to be able to complete that front elevation.
Thank you for the clarification. I got that slipped my mind.
And would the commission be okay with the cement siding then for the other facades? Just to clarify.
Commissioner Sundstrom, is your hand raised there? and went back down. If I think that there wasn't any comment to that effect, do any commissioners have comment on the cement fiber siding? No, Ms. Hukamer, I think that that would be fine by the commission for the remainder of the elevations.
And I also want to clarify, there was some question about restoring original windows on the front facade. Were the proposed window materials suitable for the other facades as well, the Pella?
A question for the commission. Does anyone have comment on that? So I think the question is the restoration on non-front facade. Is that school camera?
I think that's correct. Although on this salvage inventory, I don't see any wood windows included, but I do remember some wood windows being there during the initial site visits. So I'm not sure.
And I think that the ones specific that I heard were the ones that were essentially protected by the porch. So the ones that would be on the first floor elevation front.
Okay. And so in that case, then the Pella are acceptable for the other facades. I just want to clarify for the applicant.
Yes. And I'm not seeing any commissioners raising their hands. I see Commissioner Johnson. One second, please. Commissioner Johnson.
Yeah. The egress replacements had to be made with those stops, so they were going to go to the Pella. Does that mean that the rest of the windows would still be the locally made products?
It's a question for the applicant.
The stops are not special to fiberglass windows. The point it was that you can't not to have the windows open too far so a child wouldn't fall out. You could put stops on other types of windows. So that's a separate question than whether the windows are wood or fiberglass. I would point out that these windows do not, to my knowledge, the windows you're talking about, the old windows do not exist. So it would not be possible to put them back.
I think the comment from the commission would be that those front windows underneath the porch would be wood. Windows is the comment, even if they're not the original ones have been disposed of. And if I can, the comment from Commissioner Johnson, I think, was specific to the requirement of having the, for lack of a better word, and being late in the evening, baby locks on the windows. That if that was only required for specific windows, and then the other windows that it was not required for could be the other product that had been proposed.
It would be only upstairs windows where that's required.
So it sounds like there was, Commissioner Johnson, if I was hearing you right, that there was a desire to have the other product on the windows that would not require the locks on them. Was that correct, Commissioner Johnson?
No, just a clarification of the style of windows, how they all look the same, or maybe would look different from one window to the next with the profiles.
Okay, so it was more that they were all consistent.
Yes.
Got you. Okay, thank you. And I saw Commissioner Mortensen had...
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, at least for myself, my opinions on the windows are and unfortunately, it sounds like we don't have very good data on which windows were repairable at the time of purchase before they were disposed of, but I would consider myself that the requirement be to restore those windows that had existed in the house and could have been restored to wood.
And do we know from other commissioners, I guess, that maybe it was a conservative estimate in talking about the ones that were protected by the porch? Were there other, I guess, on the site tour, other documentation we have of windows that would meet that requirement or that?
I don't believe we had any documentation, Chair, but I do believe that the front windows and the side bay windows were original at the time of the site visit. So if other commissioners remember differently, please correct me.
And we have Commissioner Williams. Reese.
The bay windows were gone when we got out there. The openings were still there. I do recall a couple of windows on the side of the house that were still there during our site visit, and the ones on the front. And I don't believe any in the back or the were original. And I don't know about the side that's on the north, because I just we didn't spend a lot of time on that side of the building because it's so close to the lot line, and it was pretty overgrown. So my recollection was that, you know, there were just a couple of wood windows on the south facade, and then maybe just a few, you know, definitely the ones on the front, not including the second floor.
So would it be a fair consideration, I guess, in that to include, since we don't have specifics or specific data or detail on those other ones, perhaps that we can just specify the ones that are on that first floor front elevation? Those sound like they're more definite.
From staff's perspective, I think that if that's the direction the commission wants to go, that is the one that clearly has the most, I guess, beneficial impact to the historic district, if that makes any sense, versus like, you know, some window that floated in one of the walls way back in the side where no one's going to see it or at least not appreciate the difference from the street. So, and I think that I'm hearing consensus from the commission about the front windows under the porch, as opposed to, I think there's a lot more uncertainty with the rest of the elevations in the house.
I think that's correct. So is that enough direction for Mr. McKnight and Ms. Hughhammer? Oh, I see Commissioner Hilsendegger.
Yeah, I just had a question for clarification for the presenter. Are you saying that it's not possible to install wood windows with stoppers and that it's only possible to install fiberglass windows with stoppers?
No, I did not say that. That is not true.
I think the difference was between two different product lines. Is that correct for replacement windows?
It's actually the reason we switched from one fiberglass to another was that the fiberglass didn't come, the Milgard fiberglass didn't come with the stops. I haven't researched particular lines of wood windows, but I would expect that it is possible to get wood windows with stops. So the stops are a separate question than fiberglass versus wood.
And essentially, since the windows we're talking about that would be wood replacement or first floor front facade, they shouldn't need the stoppers from what I'm hearing.
That's
you,
correct. Say. The child is not going to fall out and hurt themselves there.
Okay, great. So is that enough direction from the commission, Mr. McKnight? And then you can work with. Oh wait, Commissioner Hart has his hand raised.
Yes, I'm just wondering if we start to move to a motion rather than having them come back to us, is this something we can do through administrative review?
I would say that it would be possible. However, there seems to be a lot of things here on the list, and this has been a property that's been before the commission several times. So, I mean, my general opinion would be that it likely would need to come back. I don't know what other commissioners think. I'd seek their input on that. I see another commissioner raise their hand. I'm not sure who that
was me. I would prefer to review this again after the changes.
Okay. Does any other commissioner have any opinion on, or I should say, any opinion that would differ from having another review? I don't see any hands. Okay, so Mr. McKnight, do you have enough to carry forward and work with the applicant?
Thank you, Chair. So what I have here, this is my running list, I think, is the recommendation for that casement window for egress in the bay, that the front porch windows or the windows in the front porch be restored to their previous condition, which was the original ones were there, so they'd be wood replacements there. That the balcony upstairs and the second story porch be restored with a railing design that's appropriate to the house. Sorry about the dog. And I think that there was I think Commissioner Williams mentioned something about being fine with having a paired set of windows there. The desire for corbels or dentils or whatever you want to call them, under the eaves and the front gable, and then matched where appropriate around the side of the house. The stone pillar supports for the porch, and then the used wood salvage siding on the front elevation.
That matches what I have as well, to a T. Any commissioners think otherwise?
I don't actually think otherwise. Just before we conclude, I wanted to say that I really actually appreciate the design of the interior, even though that's not something that is in our purview. But I just wanted to acknowledge that this is a density increase in the North Slope, and that's something that's an issue that's becoming more apparent in this commission. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness of the design in allowing this house to increase the density of the neighborhood. So I just wanted to say thank you to the applicant and architect.
Great. That's a great point, Commissioner Mortensen. And I see Commissioner Williams as well.
I kind of echo that sentiment. I think that architect did a pretty masterful job of fitting four apartments into what was originally the window configuration on the visible sides of the house, and that's not an easy feat. And I just wanted to commend her and her group on that, because I do think ultimately they're going to end up with very marketable rental units there. And I too agree that it wasn't an easy task. Let's put it that way.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
It's definitely good comments and agreed. Excellent. So. With that, I think hopefully the applicant can work with city staff moving forward.
Yes.
And it sounds like we'll see you once again. We'll look forward to that.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Is there a vote to defer?
Oh, should we have a vote to defer? We could do that. So Commissioner Hart?
I make a motion to defer this for further review pending the discussed changes.
Great, thank you. And is there a second? I saw someone raise their hand.
I'll go ahead and second that.
Great, there's a second. So there's a motion before for deferring this application with the discussion that we had, elements to be incorporated or addressed. Is there any comment or discussion on that motion? Hearing none, we'll move to a voice vote. If we can have a BT unmute the commission here, and we'll have all those in favor of this motion say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Abstentions? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. Thank you so much. All right. Now we'll move on to item 5B on the agenda, our second or last design review of the evening. It's for 100 South 9th Street, the Bose Building, cell antenna. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So this is 100 South 9th Street, which is the Bose Building. It's an individual landmark in the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, built in 1909 as a Bose Arts Building. Verizon Wireless is proposing a replacement of six existing antennas and six remote radio units in the addition of three 5G panel antennas mounted at the parapet level, two over-voltage protectors, and two hybrid cables on the rooftop. Compared to the last application, this proposal has reduced the size of the replacement antenna to approximately the same size as the existing antenna, reduced the size of the framing, and included a film product to conceal the equipment. And the antenna have also been pushed back away from the parapet. Just a bit of a recap, on April 24th last year, the Landmarks Commission deferred this item for feasibility exploration of lowering and moving the antenna to reduce the visibility. The commission also commented about the continuous changes to the site and that they weren't desirable for a historic building like this. And so in order to prevent future additions pieces of equipment are coming back to the commission again and again. The application was then revised by the applicant to include additional antenna. On August 14th, the commission voted to deny the application due to the increased visual impact on the building. This was appealed and the hearing examiner upheld the commission's decision and remanded the application to the commission pending the submittal of revised plans that reduce the visual impact of the proposal, and that was part of the conversation with the hearing examiner. The applicant has submitted new images showing the reduced visual impact compared to the original submittal. This year, January 22nd, the commission deferred the application until the applicant to provide an option to reduce the visual impact on the south elevation as compared to the original proposal. And in response to the prior feedback, the applicant has provided a final revised design, which includes obscuring film and the antennas on the northeast corner facing Fireman's Park. The action request is the approval of the above scope of work. Staff recommends the Secretary of the Interior Standards 1, 9, and 10. Brief analysis, property is an individual landmark in the Tacoma Register of Historic Places and was subject to review by the commission. Two, no character defining features have been altered. However, the new equipment is visible from the street level at a distance. Item three, no historic materials being destroyed or removed. Four, the equipment could be removed without harming the building or its character defining features. And five, the current proposal reduces the visual impact of the overall antenna as requested by the commission. And staff again recommends approval of the application.
Great, thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions regarding the staff report? Seeing none, hopefully we have the applicant. Is it Mr. Cardoza with us?
Hello?
Maybe. Yes, it's Mr. Cardoza.
Can you hear me, please?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Okay, thank you. I am sharing my screen. Thank you. Sharing my screen. And can you see the site plan?
Yes, it is up now.
Okay. So just to set it up a little bit, Fireman's Park is just right over here to the north. And so this is the proposed layout of the facility. And just a little bit of some of the terminology. So these are what they call sectors. So there's three sectors. One, two, and three. And what I wanted to show here is just the general layout on the roof, but also that we've actually moved this frame, this sector back. It was initially up close. We were able to move it to 5 feet, and in taking into consideration the board's comments, able to move it back 2 more feet. So the distance from the edge of the roof here from the south is now 7 foot to the antennas. This is about 9 feet from here. That wasn't of a concern to this point, 17 feet from this setback. The issue we ran into with trying to move the antennas back was at this location, the setback is at 3 feet to the north. 4 feet to the east. The issue here is that it would, to move it back, would require extensive framing. So what you can see here is new steel framing that's required. Very extensive framing over here, steel framing. The issue with an older structure is that when you add that kind of steel, it creates structural issues for the capacity of the building. And that's the issue. That was the issue in trying to move these back further. So wanted to show the general layout, and then I'll move to the actual kind of a zoom in on the actual sectors, we call those. So this would be the sector, and just to set it up, there's currently 9 antennas, 3 per sector. The antennas shown in white are existing antennas that would remain. We do relocate those for a few different reasons. The darker antennas are the replacement antennas, and those are approximate like for like with the existing. The smaller dark antenna is the proposed 5G. What you see in looking down here is that we have actually eliminated what these are called pipe mounts. So this is an existing antenna, and then we've eliminated the pipe mounts by combining the 5G antenna to an existing pipe with another antenna facing a different direction. The other equipment that you see here is that these are remote radio units, acronym RRUs. Those are being replaced, 6 for 6. And then the other piece of equipment is an OVP, which is a surge protector, electronic type of piece of equipment. The main difference in the existing, which the photo sims will show much better, is that there's currently antennas over here, and we're proposing to relocate that sector to this side of the building. If I could, I'll go to the photo simulations. So this shows the existing antennas that are up there. You can barely see this side, but what we have done here is to push the antennas back. We're maintaining the height, so in pushing them back, we did not have to raise them. We also eliminated the cross frames by basically structurally engineering them to go lower. We also can lower what was shown in previously, the RRUs, remote radio units, lower, and with the effect of the antennas going back, this is what we predict that will be seen, which is basically in moving back and not raising the antennas would look as though they are right on the parapet. And the 5G, the intent was to make it look as though it was actually mounted on the parapet at this location. So that's the existing. This is the proposed, and it's quite different from prior submittals in that we were able to both push the antennas back, lower the antennas to the extent possible for line of sight, move equipment down, and lower framing for the visual impact that you see here. This is a new photo that we've added to give a better sense of the existing sector that we propose to relocate from here to back over here, and we don't believe you'll see any of the antennas from this view. This is just east and south of the building, and this is what it's for look like. So we're moving, there's antennas here, and over here you'll see on another photo simulation, an actual photo, and this is what it would look like with the one sector left at this vantage. This is the same simulation that you have seen before, a prior submittal. The difference is that the 5G antenna is over here and as low as possible to get line of sight from the parapet, and then it also shows the replacement antenna. So existing, proposed, and then moving to just a little different photo than the prior one. This one seemed to give a better effect of what we were trying to show, which was there's an actual reduction from Fireman's Park here, an actual reduction in the visual from the front of the building. The reduction of number of antennas, the 5G is here. So if I could, that's the last sim. If I could go back, no, I lost it. The plans reflect the proposal to replace 6 antennas, 6 remote radio units, add 3 antennas. Those would be 5G antennas, and then we would simply need 2 more of the surge protectors, at 1 at each sector. And wanted to be brief as I could in an overview. This reflects the smallest antennas that the radio frequency engineer can come up with for replacement, and we've actually reduced the size of the 5G antennas as well from prior submittals.
Great, thank you. I'm gonna open it for commissioner comments or questions. See if I have any raised hands. Yes, Commissioner Hart.
It's been a while since we reviewed this back in January. So do you have the proposal from January photos of those renderings so we can see the difference between this proposal and the last one that we denied?
I'm sorry, just to,
if I may.
Is that Ms. Hookhammer?
It is. I would just like to add that the previous proposals were not included in this pit by commissioner recommendation, that they only compare the updated proposal with what was existing and not the other variations.
And I was going to also offer a clarification. We didn't deny the one in January. January's application was deferred.
Can I ask? Sorry, I just wanted, which one did the Commissioner Hart want to view? Because we can pull it up.
It would be the northeast one. I feel like that particular elevation was one of the sticklers of the conversation last time for us and seemed to have more overall impact, being that that is more of the historical facade of the building, less so than the mural side.
And I remember last conversation, the applicant had provided, I believe, images of all of the applications. We looked at them kind of historically. So while I think Mr. McKnight's looking that up, I saw Commissioner Stewart raise her hand.
Yes, there was information in the packet about screening material as well, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the screening material. It had several different options. I don't know exactly which one's being proposed. Thank you.
There is a mirrored type a little further in the packet that actually more or less takes on the appearance of the surrounding environment. In other words, in a lighter blue sky, it would be fade into the blue sky. In a light gray typical day, it would fade into the grayness of the backdrop, the sky. And that's a film that is a new obscuring type material. In other words, it could be placed on all the antennas. We've eliminated the frames. We could have put it on the frames, but those are now gone. So it's called the obscuring film. And that is something that I don't have a picture of in market. In other words, used in market, but it's something that we are pursuing and will be rolling out in a few other places where then I would be able to get a photo of it actually in market.
All right, thank you. And I see there's three commissioners with hands raised, and I did not see who came in first on that. So I will defer to the kindness of the commissioners to step in next.
I think you just have to pick.
I'm not sure which three they are, though.
Oh,
I just see three. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have one, Commissioner Morrison?
Yeah. I'll jump in. That is definitely one of mine. Okay. I had a question about the comment from the applicant that the structure at the front of the building couldn't be moved back because of the heaviness of the steel frame. And I was a little bit confused as to why having it moved back, what's the difference between the frame as it is in the corner closer to the parapet versus moved back? That was a different reason than you had given us before. Before it had been due to the receptivity of the antennas, and this is the first I'm hearing of the structural issue of the frame.
The effect of moving antennas back causes the need to raise the antennas. So you're correct that the line of sight, having them closer to the edge, allows us to keep the antennas lower, in this case, the same height as they are. The impact of moving them back requires more area for steel framing. It's the amount of steel that creates the weight loading
It's a loading issue for the amount of steel that we would have to put on the rooftop, and this would have to span the, from parapet to parapet. So it's just a function that if we move the antennas back, we have to raise them. To do both, we would have to add quite a bit more steel, and it would cover most of that side of the roof. Okay. And it would cause a failure structurally.
Thank you for the clarification. I didn't realize the factor of the height. I didn't think about the height. Thank you.
I was actually going to fade into you, Mr. Kammer. I saw that you had that prepared there before we, and then we'll go to Commissioner Sundstrom after you update us with the images.
So this is the proposal from January. Was this the one in question?
Was that the elevation, Commissioner Hart, that you, I thought it was?
No, the northeast corner. So from Fireman Park, looking back.
I guess this is as close as we get it there.
That one.
There we go. Is it possible for you to show that side by side with the current?
Let's find out.
I know it's going to be challenging. All of us are going to have to get our magnifying. Well, I am. I'm on my phone, so I'll have my magnifying glass out to look.
We need to get you a computer, Commissioner Bartoy.
I thought I was being, you know, high tech with using my iPhone. Yes.
Or any of these?
This is the new one. So I think it's the one you passed it. I think it's the one that shows the corner there. No, one more. It shows both of the more, this one, I think. Is that one more?
Not one more. The same view.
Yeah.
Not there.
There we go.
So there's that.
This is a remarkable feat. I'd just like to point that out.
There we go.
Out.
Awesome.
I'm doing something. Okay.
Excellent.
Much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Great. And just to be clear, the image on top is the new image. The image to the back is the previous application, correct?
Yes. So
yes.
This is the previous application from January. And this is what we have before us today.
Great. Commissioner Sundstrom, you've been waiting patiently.
I just want to say that I think this application is far more reasonable than previous applications. And although, you know, it's not purely invisible as we would all hope technology someday would be, that to me, it's no worse than the existing visual impact to the building. And I regret that the applicant didn't bring forth this level of effort in designing a proposal that would be the leap apple for the historic building from the very beginning, would have saved everyone a lot of time and frustration. And I think personally, the arrays as proposed together with the obscuring film is an acceptable response or acceptable solution to mitigate the visual impacts, in my opinion.
Right. Let's see, Commissioner Helsendinger.
Yeah, just for clarification with the obscuring film, which antennas are you proposing to potentially use that film on?
That would be all antennas. So there would be a total of 4 per sector, total of 12 antennas, and they would all be, film would be applied to all.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other comments from the commission or questions? Commissioner Mortensen?
Just want to say I totally agree with Commissioner Sundstrom, and with the addition of the film, it seems like a reasonable compromise to me.
Great. And I echo those sentiments. I think what you brought us here is clearly makes the antenna seem much more secondary to the building, and everything we've said about the massing, size, scale, and the features in previous conversations. I really feel like this proposal in front of the commission addresses those comments in a very real and significant way. So, Commissioner Slessor.
Yeah, I have a couple of points. One is, I'd like to see an installation of the masking film and what that actually would look like, rather than description of it. I don't feel that that's sufficient for me to agree to that. I mean, in the past, we have not really been very enthusiastic about trying to mask the antennas, so this sounds like a really super idea. But I would like to see some examples of that. And the second point is that I feel that we haven't really looked at carefully enough is the approach from the hill down. Is that 9th Street? Yeah, 9th Street. We're looking at a pedestrian side, and then we're looking at a one-way street side where it doesn't even, you know, it's not even relevant. I mean, for me personally, the most important one was from the 9th Street and Pacific edge of the building. And I'd like to see those photographs, please.
I don't know I know that the package had some examples of the obscuring film. I don't know if we can bring those up on the screen. It had some product samples, I believe, that showed them in use. I believe one was against a historic church. And I'm not sure if you can, or if it's necessary to on my screen, but there. Yeah, I was going to say zoom in on the item.
So this is the manufacturer's photo simulations that they have provided. We have a project in the city of Renton where we're going to try it in market. Unfortunately, I don't know when that project will be completed, but it is being received by at least two other jurisdictions in the same approach. In other words, using the film on existing and proposed antennas, including 5G. I wish that I did have a local market example as built. Unfortunately, I don't have one.
But Mr. Cardozo, let me just clarify there. The photos that are shown, are those photo renderings or are those actual? I had the impression that those were actual photographs of the product in use. I mean, they may not be local, but I got the impression that they were actual in-use photographs, like a before and after.
Yes, I'm sorry. I believe that that's correct, that they are actual. It's just a different market. I'm not familiar with this technology. It's emerging here. It's obviously been used back east.
Okay. Commissioner Hart, so you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the photos on 145 specifically, it looked like guys actually installing it with that film on. That's definitely a real life application. And I don't have a lot of familiarity with the product, but they use a similar product with some window films to do that reflectivity thing. So I think it's kind of the same concept, but you're actually going to get a bit more of a dynamic reflection because you're dealing with a non-rigid flat surface. So it will actually be more effective in that sense, the way it will refract light I mean, it seems pretty awesome. That said, I think the I agree with everyone so far that the reductions are quite significant from what we've seen in the past. And I personally would be okay moving forward with what you've shown, but knowing that they're going to be even less visible with this film makes me even more inclined to proceed.
Thank you. And Commissioner Schlesser?
Yes. Okay. I think I've got it now. I have a better picture. And just to recap, Mr. Cardoza, was the film going to only be applied to the antennas or also the framing and the supports?
We can't apply it to the framing. It just wasn't going to be visible, as you know, per instructions to reduce the mass. Okay. We can apply it to framing, though. It can be applied to the other equipment as well.
And just to clarify,
that's for the remote radio unit.
And just to clarify, for this application, you're saying it's not applied to the framing because the framing is not visible. You've essentially removed the framing from the proposal, but any equipment that would be visible will have the application.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And then on to my second question. We have a comparison again of the 9th and Pacific view.
Do we have that, Ms. Sugammer?
I think we do. Is this it?
No, that's the. We need existing versus proposed from 9th and Pacific. I don't think we see that in the...
This is one block over.
Right. This is Fireman's Park here. We're asking for it coming down the hill. What does it look like coming down the hill? Straight on the building.
That I do not know.
I think this is as close as we get as the one you just had.
That one. I don't think we have that.
No.
Well,
I think this is here.
125 is going to be the closest.
But I know that I feel like in a past presentation, we may have seen somewhat of a mock-up of that. Do you remember, Commissioner Williams?
Yeah, we actually did. We did have that view, and I agree with you. I would like to see that view coming from the west down 9th, and right now we don't have that. Yeah, we just, I think the last slide was the closest we had to that. So I agree with Commissioner Schlesser. I would like to see the existing and the proposed from the stoplight that's at 9th and Pacific.
So in other words, on this particular stop, can you just go back a bit? Sorry, the last photo, that one there. It's the corner to the right, so facing west. So this is facing southwest. Mm-hmm. We want the one that's opposite, just completely handed from the hill, from the traffic light. Does that make sense, Mr. Cardoza?
Yes, I have driven down, and you can see it, so I certainly understand what you're asking for. The one thing I noticed was in driving down 9th from the top of the hill, I really couldn't see it except for, you know, on the in the car, literally driving down. I can try to get a better photo, you know, from Pacific, but I definitely know what you're talking about. Coming down the hill, you can definitely see most of the top of the building, the roof in whole.
Well, and then, I mean, and that's understandable that from the hill that you would see that, but I think that what I want to see is as if you were stopped at the corner of 9th and Pacific, looking at the building, what is it that you see? That's the specific point that I'm asking.
Commissioner Hart, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I mean, just popping into Google Maps Street View, the locations seem to match in the proposal, but the biggest difference being that they're shorter. So I don't think there's going to be much change coming down 9th, other than you will see less of the antennas based on the drawings and what we've just looked at.
Well, great. Then we'll look forward to seeing that. I don't want to see that photographic mock-up of that, please.
There's another hand raised.
Commissioner Morgenroth.
Commissioner.
Yeah, I just want to say. Morgenroth. Yeah, I'm also looking at Street View, and I agree with that, and I am comfortable approving as is without looking at another mock-up if it's just going to be shorter.
Are there any other commissioners who comment on this? Well, hearing none, is there, I'm hearing there might be a little bit of a mix in feelings amongst the commission. Is there commissioners who would like to take an action? Commissioner
Hart?
I'd
like to make a motion. A motion to approve as proposed. I think they've met the changes we've asked for, and I feel comfortable with them proceeding.
That's a motion by Commissioner Hart. Is there a second?
A second.
Commissioner Sundstrom? Second by Commissioner Sundstrom. There's a motion before the commission right now to accept the proposal as presented this evening. Is there a discussion on that motion? Commissioner Williams.
I agree with Commissioner Schlesler that I would like to see the facade from 9th before we do final approval of this.
Okay. Any other, let's see, Commissioner Schlesser. Excuse the screaming in the background around here. Commissioner Schlesser.
Yes. I just wanted to remind the commission that this has been a long-standing issue that we have gone, years with this, making some modifications and some changes that we have approved in the past and not had an issue with. And I would strongly recommend that for goodwill that Verizon provide us with the requested photograph, as previously mentioned. Martha.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any other comments on the motion? Seeing no other hands, the motion will go to a vote, and we'll go ahead and have Ms. Doan take us off mute here so we can do the vote. And all commissioners in favor of the motion.
Kevin, I think
voting now. Voting? Sorry. You
dropped out there for a sec, Kevin.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, do we have Kevin?
He gone?
He's still there. I can see him. I just can't hear him.
Uh-oh.
Now we can hear you.
Okay, we can't hear you, Kevin.
We were so close.
Hold up a sign. Can't hear you.
Can he type into the chat?
He's muted. He's unmuted.
I think he muted because of the kids.
And now you can't get back in.
Let's get him a computer.
It's got to be one laying around the city offices somewhere.
Seriously.
Mr. Vice Chair, if we if we don't get the audio back from our chair, perhaps to this like being in battle or something, you got to pick up the flag. I was going to recommend a voice vote on this, or maybe like a roll call vote.
All right. So we will do a voice vote on approving the proposal for the Bose Building antennas. All those in favor, kindly say aye.
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 Those against, say aye or nay.
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 Uh-oh. Maybe we should raise hands and count them to be a little more clear.
Or would you just definitely do a roll?
Sure. Yeah, I can do it. I'm just going to go down my list then here. Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Okay. Oops, they move around. Commissioner Williams? Okay. Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Okay. Commissioner Morgenroth? Aye. Okay, Commissioner Sundstrom?
Aye.
Commissioner Mortensen?
Aye.
Let's see here. Commissioner Hilsendegger?
Nay.
Okay. Commissioner Schlesser? Nay. Commissioner Hart?
Aye.
And let's see here. Do I have Chair Bartoy? I think we may have lost him. Did anybody? Did I get everybody?
So Chair Bartoy is back in the meeting, but he's in attendees, not panelists.
Oh, okay, hang on just a sec. We'll get him back in here. Chair Bartoy.
Let's see. There we go.
Okay, you're back.
Okay. So we're voting on the motion before us.
Chair Bartoy, I've taken a voice vote, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ayes, 3 nays, and you haven't voted yet.
I vote aye.
So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ayes and 3 nays, Mr. Chair.
So the motion passes. Okay. Thank you. And I think that's all we need on that one on 5B. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that is all we have for that. So that is enough to issue the approval of the application.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Cardoza.
Bye.
Now we'll move on to item 6 on the agenda, preservation planning board business. Do we have a staff report?
Mr. Chair, I can go and do this just really briefly. Sure. This is not really an action item. It's just to let the commission know where we are with Preservation Month. There have been some schedule changes, and we just wanted to make sure that we're up to date. And so we have included the most recent information we had when the packet was released. Most of these things have gone virtual if they haven't been canceled. Importantly, as the chair knows and the rest of the commission may not, the proclamation that was scheduled for May 5th has been canceled, and instead there is a written report coming from the chair to council, and the historic preservation awards have been postponed. I don't know if Lauren has anything additional to add to that. I just wanted to close it up, but give you guys a current up-to-date on Preservation Month.
I just have a quick update. Metro Parks was intending to do theirs virtually, but since they have closed, and most staff have been furloughed, those events, including the virtual escape room, is now canceled. And the Sherman Elementary Salmon release and student presentations, those will continue virtually.
And so if you are interested in attending any of these or visiting any of these, I would check with the HP for the most current scheduling, since we're working with a lot of partners and some things change with them and there's different players in them. So that's all I have.
Monthtacoma.com.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And that was 6A. And moving on to just chair comments here, I just want to, I forgot to mention that in addition to Earth Day, it's also Administrative Professionals Day. So thank you to VP there. She's been behind the scenes allowing us to make this work smoothly. And I'd like to thank everyone for our very first virtual commission meeting. We dealt with some very complex applications, and I think everyone did an extremely good job in working through the new technology, despite my little hiccup at the end. So thank you all. And with that, I think we'll go ahead and say good night and close this meeting. Everyone, have a good night. Stay safe, stay healthy. And we're going to get through this. Washington's doing great. Keep it up.